In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you now about a sane estimate of your own capabilities. When my husband Lars was a student in Gordon Conwell Seminary, he took a class in which the professor asked everyone to take out a sheet of paper and spend 10 minutes writing a list of things they liked about themselves. Well, the way Lars tells it, he sat there chewing on his pencil, watching everybody else scribbling frantically away. None of them had seemed to have any trouble thinking of a long list of things that they liked about themselves. Lars said, "I couldn't think of a thing." Well, any psychologist would tell him that he was in deep trouble. Because nowadays we're told that we're supposed to feel good about ourselves, we're supposed to feel comfortable, we're supposed to like ourselves, we're even told that we're supposed to love ourselves. This is what's called self-esteem, self-worth, self-image. Well, quite honestly, I'm up to here with self-everything. How about you? By what standard should we judge ourselves? By beauty? Talent, education, wealth, success, position, power, all of the above, one of the above, none of the above. "Well, but I don't have anything to offer," somebody says. "Nobody loves me. I'm a failure. I was behind the door when they gave out the talents. And as for beauty, education, well, wealth, forget it. Success, everything I've done has turned to dust. Position, power, I don't have any of those things." Well, I want to tell you that you do have a gift. In fact, you have gifts, according to Scripture. Those gifts come from God. They are distinct, and they have a definite object. Now, there are four facts which are true of every one of us. We have gifts, they come from God, they are distinct, and they have a definite object. Everyone's work is marked by a quality of its own. Perhaps it could be done by somebody else, maybe even more quickly, more systematically, or more efficiently. But let's not forget that it is this job that has been entrusted to us. This set of gifts has been given to you, to me, to one person. This set of gifts has a subtle personal quality not matched by any others. There's room for all kinds of work done in all kinds of ways by all kinds of people. Make sure that the single special note in the great music of the universe is not lacking because you have refused to play your part. We're talking about a sane estimate of your own capabilities. That phrase comes straight out of one modern translation of Romans 12. As your spiritual teacher, Paul says, "I, by the grace God gave me, give this advice to each one of you. Don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your importance, but try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given to you all." I don't want you to think I am debunking all discussion of self-esteem, self-worth, and self-image, but I do feel that perhaps we've gone way overboard on the importance of that and have concentrated far too much on the self rather than on the one who made that self. And if we're going to have a sane estimate of our capabilities, then that means that we must not overestimate or underestimate. And I think we're in danger, when we think too much about self-esteem and self-image, of doing exactly what Paul says we shouldn't do, cherish exaggerated ideas of ourselves or our importance. After all, you know, as they say, nobody's necessary anywhere. And there's a measure of truth in that. The world's going to keep right on going around after you and I have long been forgotten. But then there's another sense in which every one of us is necessary in exactly the place that God has put us. It's always possible to do the will of God because God has given us the gifts which are essential to accomplish that job. It's God who has given the gift. The gifts which He gives are distinct, designed exactly for the accomplishment of His purposes, and they have a definite object, which is His purpose. God has dispensed gifts to all, the Scripture says. Have you ever thanked Him for the gifts that He's given you? Well, but I don't know what my gifts are, somebody says. Well, ask the Lord to show you. It's very possible that you are already exercising many of the gifts that God has given you. If you're a mother, remember that the supreme gift that God has given you is that child. That is the gift, appropriate to the job that God wants you to do. That job is mothering that child. Thank Him for that gift. When you're aware of your inadequacies, which every mother certainly will be, ask God to help you, to give you the wisdom that you need. And He's promised to give the gift of wisdom to those who need it and ask for it. And then offer back to Him the gifts which He has given to you. None of them is just for yourself. No gift is given to us just for ourselves alone. The Bible tells us that the gifts which are given out of His magnificently varied grace are given for the sake of the body. Paul goes on in that very same chapter, Romans 12, and says, just as you have many members in one physical body, and those members differ in their functions, so we, though many in number, compose one body in Christ and are all members to one another. Through the grace of God, we have different gifts. If our gift is preaching, let us preach to the limit of our vision. If it is serving others, let us concentrate on our service. If it is teaching, let us give all we have to our teaching. And if our gift be the stimulating of the faith of others, let us set ourselves to it. Let the man who is called to give, give freely. Let the man in authority work with enthusiasm. And now I want to emphasize this last one particularly. Let the man who feels sympathy for his fellows in distress help them cheerfully. Some of those gifts that he refers to are special gifts which are given for the sake of the church as a church, preaching and teaching. But there are many different ways of stimulating the faith of other people, and I don't know of anyone who is in a better position to stimulate the faith of a group of people than a mother and a father, and the group of people is those children that sit around their table. And the man who feels sympathy for his fellows in distress, that's not an office that we think of in the church, is it? It's just the ability, the willingness to help other people. But it's listed as a gift. Thank Him for the gifts He's given you. Don't exaggerate them. Don't underestimate them. They come down from the Father of lights. To everyone is given gifts, Christian or non-Christian, just as God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Now, there are spiritual gifts, but that's not exclusively what I'm talking about. Are you saying, well, I wish I had her brains. I wish I had his faith. I wish I had so-and-so's energy. I wish I had that voice, that courage, those looks, those executive talents, or even so-and-so's circumstances. But look what I'm stuck with. 1 Corinthians 12 repeats the kind of thing that Paul talks about in Romans 12. He talks about the human body, which has many parts, and yet is a unity. Those parts, despite their multiplicity, constitute a single body. Now, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, does that alter the fact that the foot is a part of the body? If the body were all one eye, for example, where would be the sense of hearing? If it were all one ear, where would be the sense of smell? God has arranged all the parts in one body according to His design. Each of us is equipped, in other words, according to God's wisdom and grace. Amy Carmichael wrote in her little book, If I cannot, in honest happiness, take the second place or the 20th, if I cannot take the first without making a fuss about my unworthiness, then I know nothing of Calvary love. Receive the gift that God has given you. Thank Him for it. Those are the prerequisites to offering it back. When people talk about discovering your gifts, how far do you have to look? Do we necessarily have to look in the church? How about the home? Are you an older woman? Have you ever thought about the fact that your age is a gift? It's a privilege. It carries with it responsibilities. Are you teaching younger women? When ought a man or a woman to acknowledge, it's time that I shoulder adult responsibility to help others? Not necessarily in the way that I choose, but in the way that is laid in my pathway. And again, to go back to Amy Carmichael, if by doing some work which the undiscerning consider not spiritual work, I can best help others, and I inwardly rebel, thinking it is the spiritual for which I crave, when in truth it is the interesting and the exciting, then I know nothing of Calvary love. Remember that every experience, if offered to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.